Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds. This week, we're covering the season 44 premiere with host Adam Driver and musical guest Kanye West. I'm John Trumbull. With me is my co-host, Darren Patterson.
Hi, I'm co-host Darren Patterson.
And also with us is our producer, Frank Hablawi.
I am here under protest.
Okay.
Frank.
We're getting off to a grand start. I think we should start out, since this is our very first episode,
right?
We should talk a little about how this came to be, our secret origin.
Yeah, our origin story, if you will.
Yeah, we, as the title says, we are both nerds.
We're dorky people.
We are dorky men. We are two stand-up comics in our 40s.
Right. Well, yeah.
In New Jersey. Well, you're 40.
I play young. I can play young.
That is the saddest. You know what that means? He's trying to get a walk-on role somewhere.
I'm still waiting to hear back from Riverdale about that walk-on part, man.
I can
play teen.
Okay.
If needed.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Why? Okay.
All right.
Fine.
We're humoring Darren now.
I'm still young. Call me back, CW, please.
But we should explain ourselves. We're two stand-up comics here in New Jersey, and we're both massive Saturday Night Live fans.
Absolutely.
We've been watching for decades now.
Decades and eons.
Yes.
Right.
And
yeah, so John, like, how did you start getting into SNL? Like, what's your earliest memory of it?
My earliest memory of I do remember the very first time I saw SNL was when it was in the 80s. I was living in Washington, D.C. at the time with my family. I did not have my own place yet. I was in
your bachelor pad and your 8 year.
I was probably like around 12 or so. Oh, okay. So this would be about 1984.
Gotcha. And
I want the fan of this show who's feverishly trying to do the math on all of this. I'll figure you out, Trumbull and Patterson.
There's so much math.
Like, carry the two.
But I was old enough to be interested in the show. I was still young enough to require a babysitter.
Gotcha.
So my parents left town, and I talked my babysitter, Pam, into letting me stay up and watch Saturday Night Live with her.
All right.
And I remember very distinctly at one point, I asked her, is this supposed to be funny?
Wow.
And
So 1980, we're going to do the which cast this is.
Was that the Kazurinsky years?
It was probably, I think it was in the Billy Crystal season where you had Harry Shearer and you had Christopher Guest and you had those guys. But it began that tradition of being excited to watch Saturday Night Live and being disappointed by Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Right.
And so I had that tradition from the very, very beginning.
I
think is part and parcel of being an SNL fan,
right?
Is you love the show, but you can also be very disappointed by it at times.
Yeah, I mean, they don't bat 100 or 1,000 all the time. But like, even though that first your first experience with it wasn't great, you still came back and watched it, right?
Yeah, and I really
do you remember the thing that hooked you onto it?
I really got into the show like a few years later during like the mid-80s cast where you had Dana Carvey and John Lovitz and Phil Hartman and Jan Hooks and Nora Dunn and Victoria Jackson, and I'm forgetting somebody. Kevin Nealon,
Dennis Miller.
Miller. Oh, Dennis Miller. I mean, in the mid '80s, he was the shit.
He was the guy.
He was the guy. He was the coolest guy. I do not quite feel that way about Dennis Miller anymore.
How do you feel about Dennis Miller now? What has happened?
That's the question.
That's a whole other episode.
What has happened with Dennis?
Yeah, for a minute there, I thought I was going to quarter you into something awkward, but no, we are going to talk about what happened with Dennis Miller.
That could be a theme episode.
Yeah, I mean, I was a huge Dennis Miller fan. Like, I love like that album came out with the Off-White album.
The Off-White album. That's a great comedy album.
And even his that stand-up he did, the Black and White one, a comedy special on HBO was like, it was all in black and white. It had like this kind of cool jazz vibe thing to it.
I thought that
was really funny. And I thought he was hilarious, and the way like he used his words was amazing. But then it took a turn, and I was like,
he took a turn. Yeah.
I don't know if I can support this anymore.
I don't know when exactly he went kind of hard right conservative. I think it was after 9/11.
Yeah.
It seems like it changed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Awkward way to phrase it.
I
think we all could have chosen the word.
As soon as I said it, I was like, maybe I should.
Darren's taking a stand. 9/11 changed a lot of people.
Yeah.
All right. You heard it here first.
It's not a lie. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So Darren, what about you? When did you start watching the show? You're a little younger than me.
A little younger, but I remember, like, I don't remember the exact year. I remember I was definitely like a little kid. I might have been younger than you, like maybe like 7 or 8. And I remember, I remember my dad was watching it. Like, I got like a lot of my sense of humor from my dad was watching shows he'd watch. Like, he was big into like British comedies. Like, he'd watch, you know, Monty Python and whatnot. And then he'd also watch like a lot of SNL. So, like, one day, I remember vividly.
And Whatnot does sound like a British comedy.
And Whatnot. I was thinking that.
I couldn't think of the other. Blackadder. That's another.
Yeah. Fawlty Towers.
Fawlty Towers.
I'm serious. And Whatnot sounds like it would be on BBC Two.
If this project fails, we are going to start a British sitcom called And Whatnot.
Good. You heard it here first.
And Whatnot and Buffoonery.
Yes.
BBC Two.
Whatnot and Buffoonery.
That's actually, if that's not on BBC Two, I don't know. I'm shocked.
That will be our new. Can we use that as like a fake credit in our shows or no?
Whatnot and Buffoonery.
You know him from Whatnot and Buffoonery.
That's a tough gig to get. How do you get that?
If you had a satellite in the 1970s, it was huge. Anyways, our next comedian.
Whatnot and Buffoonery, right after the Mighty Boosh.
Yeah.
So anyway, my first memory was like my dad was watching SNL, and then I kind of walked in and watched it with him, and I remember it was a Landshark sketch.
Oh yeah,
and
it's a classic.
Like, I remember like as a kid seeing like this big foam shark kind of eat this woman in an apartment.
Yeah,
it was like scary and terrifying, but at the same time kind of weird and kind of funny. It was like disturbing, but it was still funny to me. And like after that, I was just kind of like just watched SNL like all the time.
You were hooked.
I was hooked. Yeah, and I remember watching like when they show like the old episodes from the 70s. Like on like VH1 used to show it, and then Comedy Central used to show reruns of like the 70s and 80s.
They were on the E Network for a long time.
E Network 2 for a while, and I would just watch tons and tons of SNL. But I think probably my favorite cast was like the same one like you said, like the Phil Hartman, Jan Hooks era, I think was the best. Although, I mean, I'm willing to admit like the one that comes maybe closest to that, like second in my mind, is maybe like I really liked the Sherry O'Terry, Will Ferrell era too.
That was a solid
cast. Chris Parnell, I think that might come second in my mind.
I mean, the show, it's a very cyclical thing. It's like almost being like a fan of a particular sports team,
right?
Because it's like the franchise has good years and bad years, but you're always rooting for your team. You're always hoping it's going to be a great, hilarious show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't always get that. It's a hit and miss show by its nature.
Right.
But you're always rooting for your team. That's the way I watch the show. I mean, I'm always hoping for a great, great show. Sometimes I get that. Sometimes I don't.
Yeah. Sometimes they take you to the World Series. Sometimes they do not. They're the Buffalo Bills. Or
sometimes it's an instant classic like Cowbell or something like that, where you're just like, oh my God, that's so great. And other times it's a forgettable thing. It's a forgettable sketch that they edit out of the reruns.
Yeah, there are sometimes too, like when you're watching a sketch and you just like kind of know in your mind, oh, that's going to be a classic.
Yeah.
Like the first time I ever saw that Tina Fey, Sarah Palin, Amy Poehler, Hillary Clinton like sketch, I was like, that's going to be like a classic. Or I still remember the first time I saw the Lazy Sunday sketch with Andy Samberg. I still remember like the first time I saw that. I was like, that is classic.
And I think if I remember correctly, that was like their very first digital short.
Yeah.
And then the Lonely Island guys, that became their thing on the show. And that really made Andy Samberg
very much so. Yeah, and they just pumped out hit after hit.
And they did like over 100 of those, I know.
Yeah, yeah. 100 videos?
Yeah. I remember there was one where they had like a big deal about it was their 100th video for the show.
All right.
So
cool.
Don't question me again, Darren.
I just didn't know it was 100. All right, so the new episode, new season, SNL 44.
It's exciting, right?
I know. Oh my, I got all tingly.
Is it the 44th season of SNL?
44th season.
Wasn't the 40th a few months ago?
It feels like it.
We're getting so old so fast.
Just moves faster and faster
the more
you age. What could
have happened in the last few years that made your life just feel like it's rapidly aging before your eyes.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Literally every single thing in my life.
Oh, everything. Yes, everything.
Yeah. Yes. But that's me.
Yeah. Right. Right. All right. So 44th. Yeah. What was the deal with that?
Well, I mean, we had as we said at the top of the show, we had Adam Driver as the host returning to host his second time.
Yeah, he's a good host. I like him.
Yeah. Well, you know, the first time he hosted, I was like, okay, yeah, he was fine. This time, I thought he really did a nice job.
He's been a little more looser this time around. Like, I think he knew, like, oh, he did it the first time, so he kind of knows what to expect the second time, so he's a little bit more with it.
He was probably a little more comfortable.
I'm moving my shoulders, as I said.
You know, he knew what to expect. You should have seen it. I mean, he was like, I thought he was going to start snapping his fingers.
I was popping and locking, baby.
Yes.
But yeah, he was definitely more kind of cool. Not kind of cool, but he was like definitely more of a, I guess, team player, you could say. He seemed like a better sketch guy. Like, there was that one sketch he was in, I thought he was really good in, where he played like the old man going to his son's career day thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty good sketch.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing I'm always looking for a host is I want them to be game. I want them to be try stuff and you know, just be in the show's hands. And I thought Adam Driver was very game for what they threw at him. So. And he brought it.
Right.
So I think what we're going to do, we're going to go through the show in chronological order. We're going to go through it sketch by sketch and talk about our thoughts.
Right. Let's do it. So, I mean, the first sketch, I mean, we all kind of knew that they would attack, or not attack, but they would talk about the big Kavanaugh case, right?
The Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court hearings.
This whole debacle.
What a mess.
Yeah. I mean, just because, the cold open is always political. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty political, like, for the past few years.
It usually is. It's whatever's like the big news of the week, that seems to be the thing they hit on for the cold open.
Right. So, I mean, I remember like on Facebook, a lot of people talking about who are they going to get to play Kavanaugh because they're obviously going to do it. And they pulled a surprise. I did not see that whole Matt Damon thing.
Matt Damon as Brett Kavanaugh.
Matt Damon.
Testifying before Congress. And
he did all right.
I thought he was great. I think he did a lot of nice character work. He's like shotgunning a beer. There were some good lines. Let's see. I'm looking at my notes. He had I'm a keg is half full kind of guy. I thought that was a great line. Later on, he said, I don't know the meaning of the word stop.
Yeah, that when he said that, you could tell the audience got tight. They were like,
it was half laughter, half horror, which I kind of loved as a reaction.
It's a good
an appropriate reaction.
Yeah. I mean, it was very, well, I would say on the nose for Brett Kavanaugh.
For this thing. Yeah, and there was also like a surprise cameo by Rachel Dratch, former
SNL. Bringing back an old alum. I guess they needed more people to play all those Congress people.
I guess so.
Or maybe Rachel was in town. Who knows? Who knows why it happened?
Yeah, I mean, it was weird that she was just in there for like that little part. And I don't know. I always kind of liked her. I kind of thought they maybe should have had her more in the show.
I think Rachel Dratch was always solid.
Yeah.
She's
good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. The big sketch I always think of is with Rachel Dratch was she did...
Debbie Downer?
Well, Debbie Downer, that's a classic.
Yeah.
I was thinking of something else. There was a thing she did with Tracy Morgan, where she and Tracy Morgan were interviewing a celebrity, and I don't even remember who the celebrity was at this point. But it was just the contrast of Tracy Morgan being his crazy Tracy Morgan self, and her being just very uncomfortable, not knowing how to relate to him.
Tracy Morgan.
Yeah. And she's like, I find that when Tracy says this sort of thing, he's usually talking about sex. And I wish I remembered it less vaguely than that. But
I don't remember that. Wow, you might have out SNL nerded me. I don't remember that sketch at all.
Ooh, well, I take the prize this week.
Yeah.
So
you got it, kiddo.
So yeah, so we have that opening. We got the stunt casting of Matt Damon. How do you feel about them doing stunt casting like that, where they're bringing in an outside person to play a prominent figure instead of having somebody in the regular cast do it?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can go I don't know. I kind of go both ways with it. I mean, at one point, I do understand that they do it because it's a big attention getter. It's like, oh, look who we got. We got Matt Damon. And, like, you know, gets headlines and, you know, people all get all excited. Like, ooh, Matt Damon. But at the same time, I might like them to sort of get, like, somebody that can do the impression a little bit better and maybe make it more of a character.
Yeah.
I mean, because, like, part of me thinks, well, isn't that what the cast is supposed to do? Is the cast supposed to do, like, impression to be able to do?
Yeah.
Like that. Like, I mean, Jay Farrow was able to do impressions. Can't they find somebody that could do a good Brett Kavanaugh impression rather than get, like, it's, you know, this shiny new celebrity and be like, oh, hey, look, it's, you know, Andrew Dice Clay is being, I don't know, Robert Mueller or what. I don't know. I'm just thinking off the top of my head here.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, but at the same time, like, if the celebrity can do a good impression, then I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
And I think it's more fun when it's, like, a one-shot deal or an occasional thing.
Yeah.
The show, the last couple seasons, it kind of backed itself into a corner. They had Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, like most everybody in the country, nobody was really expecting Donald Trump to win the presidential election. So he was kind of stunt casting for the last few months of the election, whenever they brought him in, sometime in 2016, I think.
Right.
And I'm sure they were fully expecting Kate McKinnon to be playing President Hillary Clinton for 4 years. And
that did not happen.
We're still trying to figure that out.
We're all reeling.
We're all reeling and we're trying to avoid the end times.
Yes. We're just doing this podcast to avoid the end times.
People. We're doing this podcast to keep the abyss at bay.
Thank you.
So it's living in the Trump era, you know? Right. You got to find your little bits of fun where you can.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
but, wow, I got really deep there.
Yeah, that's pretty esoteric, my friend.
I went down to like an NPR host.
Yeah, you went down to like Bob Ross level of voice. That was beautiful.
I know. But okay, well, so that was the opening.
That was the opening, yes.
That was, is there anything else you had to say about the? I thought it was a pretty strong opening.
Yeah, it's a pretty strong opening. It had some really good funny jokes there. The Alyssa Milano cutout, I thought was
That was very clever. That was very clever.
Yeah,
I mean, certainly the Kavanaugh hearings gave them no shortage of material.
Yeah. Because
if you didn't see or listen to that, wow. I mean, we're living in a time where it reality feels like something a comedy writer came up with.
I don't know. I don't even have words for it. I don't have words. No words.
Yes.
So then we get into the new opening, and they have new footage and stuff.
A brand new opening credit sequence for the new season.
Brand new opening sequence, brand new me.
Yes. I personally liked it. It's always startling when they do the new opening, because you're very used to the old one. They've usually been running the old one for a few years.
Yeah, that's true.
But I
dig it.
But I like this. It's like it's black and white, and then it like bursts into color when they're having the cast member and their names.
Cecily Strong.
Yeah, and
I dug it. And then the
monologue.
I'm always like hot and cold on that, because like it always, I don't know. Part of me feels like I wish they kind of did away with it, because like most of the time it's not really that great. It's always like, all right.
Well, I know the monologues, it's always a thing they do kind of the last day or so before the show.
Right.
I mean, I think it's always a last-minute thing. And this was, Adam Driver came out, and it was basically riffing on his inability to make small talk, and all the cast were talking about what they did during their summer, which I guess is something that happens a lot there.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, I guess they tried to make it so like people can relate to it, but I don't know, the opening monologue is always kind of, eh. Like, it's either, like a sketch that's kind of, like, so-so, or they'll bring in, like, another celebrity on to talk to the host, or it's, like a song and dance thing.
They do a song and dance thing. They do a lot of questions from the audience. They have their little stock things they do.
They have their go-tos, and I'm just
What I love it is when they have a stand-up host, and usually...
Those are good.
Because the stand-up will just do their material.
Right.
And what I love is that they always give them a hand mic.
Yeah.
Because the stand-up is very comfortable holding a hand mic.
Right.
And they don't need the hand mic.
But...
because they don't have it the other weeks, but...
they need... yeah. I mean, for those that don't know, in the comedy, stand-up comedy biz, like, we comedians were very comfortable with just holding a hand mic and doing the talking. Like, when we don't have a hand mic, we have no ideas to do with our hands.
There's no way of telling if a comedian is a comedian on Facebook unless their profile picture has a hand mic.
Right. Exactly.
I'm like, who are you? What are you doing here? What are you asking us about the show? What's going on? Oh, it's okay.
Yeah. Oh, he has a hand mic.
I get a friend request from somebody on Facebook, and I'm like, I have no idea who this person is. I look at their profile picture. Oh, they're holding a microphone. Okay, they're a comic. Yeah. And then I'll usually accept the request for networking purposes.
Yes. And that's how you get ahead in this business, people.
That's right. How you make it.
That is how you make it.
That's how you make it rain.
I'm gonna back up a little bit because with the opening, we should talk about like who the cast is
for this
season.
Yeah. There's a few changes made.
But I mean, it's mostly the same people we had on the show last season.
Mostly, yeah.
We had I'm gonna go through the list. We had Beck Bennett.
Beck, yeah.
He's been there for a few years. How do you feel about Beck?
He's all right.
Yeah,
he's all right. Okay.
He has some fun things. He doesn't generally excite me.
Yeah, he's all right. He's
good. I don't have a problem with him being there.
No.
Next we have Adi Bryant.
Adi Bryant, I like. She has some stuff there.
She's usually solid.
Yeah, she's usually very solid. Like, you know, knows the lines. Hits the her mark.
I can run hot and cold on her sometimes, but I think I like her more often than not.
Yeah, more than not, she's a good egg.
Yeah,
as the kids say, I'm gonna use a lot of old timey.
That's right. She's a good egg. That one.
Yeah,
she's a good broad. She's got a good head on her shoulders.
That gal is gonna be all.
She's going places.
That gal is A1.
And then next we have Michael Shea.
I like him.
I like him. I think he was first came on Update, but I think he's really found his groove.
Yeah,
and I think his writing is just he's got a talent for finding unique takes on current events.
Yeah,
and that's really something you need.
I mean, if you want to go back to, I don't know if we're going to talk about it, like, but when they were at the Emmys, like he had like some of the strongest, best jokes.
His bit about the it was like the Emmy reparations.
Yeah, that's a great bit. That's giving, a solid bit.
I was like, that's a great concept for a sketch.
Yeah,
and he went around to various other actors that he felt deservedly should have won Emmys through
Urkel,
the years.
Dwayne Wayne.
Yeah.
There was Marla Gibbs from 227.
There you go.
The heavy hitters.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean,
The Mount Rushmore. Non-Emmy winners.
Thank you. Of course.
I mean, like, to digress to the Emmys for a minute, I couldn't believe that Henry Winkler had never won an Emmy before.
Shocker, too.
How weird is that?
I mean, it's not terrible. I guess so. I mean,
no, admit it's weird, Darren.
It is weird. But I mean, I sort of understand because like, I think it might be one of those things where, because like, he's well known for the Fonz.
Yes.
And I'm sure like back when Happy Days came out, like in the 70s, people thought, oh, like the Fonz, it's not a character you should take seriously. Mm-hmm. Like they probably gave it to somebody, to another comedy that's a little bit more highfalutin than the Fonz.
Yeah.
It'd be like giving an Emmy to you know, Sheldon from Big Bang Theory or something like that today.
Right.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I'm sure Sheldon from Big Bang Theory has earned an Emmy or two.
Oh, has he? Oh, maybe he has. Oh, snap.
I think he's probably won it at least once, but I'd have to look that
up. Okay, well, there
anyway.
If you want, I can read off the comic actors from the run of Happy Days.
Wait, what?
Everyone who won a Best Actor...
Okay.
For comedy series at Emmy.
Okay.
From the 10 years that Happy Days was on the air.
That was quick. That. Whoa. All right.
All right.
Breaking news. One of them, now that I think about it.
Yes.
Robin Williams, Mork and Mindy.
I don't believe he showed up in that.
Oh,
no. I think that actually maybe it's a little bit. No, that feels like it would be the right
time.
It got
to be Carol O'Connor for Archie Bunker. So he had to win at least a few times.
Oh, yeah. Right, that makes sense. Yeah.
So Carol O'Connor won a couple of times. Alan Alda for MASH.
Okay. That makes sense.
Tony Randall for The Odd Couple.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. I don't begrudge him that.
Jack Albertson for Chico and the Man.
Okay.
Okay. Right. I mean, Chico.
Henry Winkler. Yeah. Carol O'Connor won for like 3 years in a row.
All right, that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Richard Mulligan from Soap. Okay, sure.
All right. I was a big fan of Soap.
And then we get the Judd Hirsch, Alan Alda years where they go back and forth for a little while.
Oh, I will not have you besmirch Judd Hirsch.
No, not at all.
No, God, no, do not besmirch the Hirsch.
True story, I wanted to become a taxi driver when I was a kid because of Judd Hirsch. I was like, he made it look so cool. I was like, oh yeah, you get to hang out with your friends.
He made it look
You get to meet female taxi drivers who look like Mary Lou Henner.
Yeah, they're kind of high. Just drive over the Queensboro Bridge from time to time.
Sure.
So putting all those people aside, the only year that the Fonz, Henry Winkler, could have won, 84, last year, I believe, that Happy Days was on the air. And who won? John Ritter from Three's Company.
Okay. All right.
So that was probably around the time Three's Company was going off the air.
Yeah. I could understand this. I could kind of get it, but it still seems like it's a.
Yeah. I mean, with the exception of Chico and the Man, I can understand why everybody else.
I'm not sure how that happened.
Yeah. But you think like one of those multiple winners, like, you know, one of Carol O'Connor's Emmys could have gone to Henry Winkler.
Yeah. But I mean, it's kind of like how the way. Julie Louise Dreyfus just kept winning for Veep all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
They get into a groove with something, and then
Modern Family just keeps winning, they just give it to him.
Before that, it was Frasier.
I think they just wanted to give it to Grandpa Jack in 1976. I mean, they were like, okay, we gotta give it to him for something.
I mean, I have honestly never seen Chico and the Man.
Me neither. I didn't want to say anything, but yeah, I've never seen it either. They don't rerun it. You can't find it.
It didn't last very long because when Freddie Prinze committed suicide, that was pretty much the show.
Yeah.
He was Chico.
Yeah.
Oh, he wasn't the Man?
I think...
He was Chico.
He was Chico.
The Man was the guy he worked for.
All right.
Yeah.
We're all working for the Man.
That was kind of a joke.
Hey, all.
Yeah.
But you played it with such sincerity. Yeah, it took you at your word.
You're a character actor, man. You were good.
Speaking of character actors, let's go on with the list.
Hey, look at that. Look at that transition. So next in the cast, we have Mr. Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson.
Because we need somebody in the cast to play college students.
He's very young, likable.
I think still in his 20s somewhere.
Still in his 20s, and he's a cast member.
And newly engaged.
Newly
engaged. I mean, Pete Davidson, another one I can run hot and cold on.
Yeah.
He has made me laugh at times.
I mean, he's not like a character.
No.
Act. He's not like an improv guy.
I mean,
guy.
He's a stand-up guy.
Yeah, he's a stand-up guy. But I mean, SNL's had stand-up comedians before, like, you know, Chris Rock and Sandler and whatnot. They're all just stand-up comics.
And it's, you know, I mean, that's one of the things that makes the show work, is you have that mix of improv people or actors or stand-ups. I don't think he's one of the stronger people, personally.
I'll go with you on that. Yeah. But he has his lane, and I don't know, he got a lot of play this episode, on today's episode.
True. Yeah. Next in the cast, we have Mr. Mikey Day.
He's all right.
He's, you know, he and Alex Moffat, they both started at the same time. They're the semi-anonymous white guys of the show.
They're fine. They're good.
I consider them more or less interchangeable.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what, I'm sure there's something that differentiates them.
I'll be damned if I know what it is, though. They do a nice job. I like what they do with the Trump sons.
Yeah, that's good.
With Eric and Donald Jr., that's solid. They come on Update and they've figured out good, distinct characters that are exaggerated versions of their real-life personas.
Yeah, that's good. They're good.
I think they have potential.
The fact that my voice keeps getting higher and higher as soon as they keep saying
they're good. They're good. They're good. They're good.
Hot pocket.
And then next, after Mikey Day, we have Leslie Jones.
Listeners, this might rub a... I feel like the Leslie Jones throughout the podcast, you know, is going to... It might trigger a few people.
We have feelings about Leslie Jones.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people love Leslie Jones.
She's a popular cast member.
She's very popular.
She's one of the breakout people on the show right now.
She is, and she's a great stand-up. But
I like the SNL cast members to be as versatile as possible, and I don't feel like Leslie Jones has a big bag of tricks.
I don't know. I just I have noticed when she does characters and because she kind of trips over her words a little bit more than
she blows her lines a lot.
Like more than a professional SNL cast member should.
Yeah, I mean, I understand growing pains, but she's been on the show for, I don't know, like probably 3 years at this point, and you feel like she should have the hang of it by now.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, just because, like, maybe we're comparing it to, like, past episodes or past seasons where, like, if you're going to be on SNL, you should be like, at the top of your game. You should be, like,
best of the best.
Yeah, cream of the crop. And then, but she's just kind of, like, I don't know.
And this is nothing really against Leslie Jones as a person or anything.
Yeah,
and
like she says, she's,
you know,
funny.
and she's dealt with like a lot of crap, like with lots of trolls on Twitter and all that. And that's screwed up. She should not have to deal
with
that.
That whole Ghostbusters thing was gross.
Yeah. We personally don't enjoy her as much as some of the other people on the show, but. Right.
But yeah, I'm willing to say like maybe she comes out with a sketch that I enjoy and she breaks out like. But
yeah.
From what I've seen so far, it's I don't know. I'm just not getting what everybody else is getting.
Yeah,
but maybe that's just, maybe I just don't see what everybody else sees. Yeah. I'm willing to admit that.
Yes. Yes. So not our personal cup of tea, but
yeah.
If she is, I mean, the beauty of SNL is that there are lots of different types of comedy.
Right.
On the show.
Yeah.
And you're not going to love every single cast member.
Right.
You're going to have your favorites. You're going to have the people you don't like as much. And that's what Leslie Jones is for us at this moment.
Right.
Next we have...
Nice and diplomatic.
Trying to. Next we have Colin Jost.
Colin, again, this is going to be... But with Colin Jost, I think he's all right. I think he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
John Trumbull taking a sip of
less
water.
So. Less so. I think he has grown on me.
I think he's
better. I don't despise him as much as I did a couple years ago.
That's rave reviews. All right, there we go. Glowing praise.
I don't think his writing is that great. I don't think he can deliver a joke well a lot of times.
Yeah. All right. I mean, that's true. But I mean, a lot of writers are just writers. I don't know.
True.
But, you know, some writers.
He did start out as a writer on the show. And then he, I believe, transitioned into an on camera role.
Oh, okay.
And became like head writer and Weekend Update.
Like the Seth Meyers, Tina Fey route.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And also, as a guy, part of me can't help but resent him because he's dated both Rashida Jones and is currently dating.
He dated Rashida Jones?
He dated Rashida Jones.
Wow.
And you're just like,
I did not know
she's so much cooler than him. How does that happen?
I don't know.
And currently dating Scarlett Johansson.
Oh.
Which.
There it is.
The universe does not make sense if that's happening.
But he's so funny.
Is he, though?
He's a funny guy.
Is he?
He has a great sense of humor.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just trying to make
And his hair bothers me.
What, his hair?
His hair.
Because he has
he's
it?
Got the, he's got, well, you know, there's that. There's the automatic. This show is produced by three bald men.
Right. So
so
anybody with hair, we automatically.
There's the alternative title.
That
had nothing to do with SNL.
Exactly.
Off-putting.
Exactly. you know, but.
I think Colin Jost is okay. I think he's all right.
He's grown on me. I think he and Michael Che have a nice dynamic.
Maybe that's why I like Jost, because like when he's with Che, I think he's okay.
Yeah.
Like when he's by himself, I'm like...
Is it Che or Shay? Because I've been saying Che, you've been saying Che, and I honestly don't know which is correct.
I say Che.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's Che.
Okay.
Now you got me thinking it's Che. Like stadium?
Well, now I'm thinking it's Che.
Oh.
And holy... We really should have prepared more before we started this podcast.
Yeah, this is we are ill prepared.
This is embarrassing. We're gonna hash this out and we're gonna figure this out by next week.
Darn tootin'.
But next is one of our favorite cast members.
Ooh.
Miss Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon. The breakout star. Probably the strongest cast member.
Definitely my favorite person on the show right now. I mean, you give anything to Kate McKinnon, she will just knock it out of the fucking park.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She is versatile as hell. She can do impressions. She can sing and dance. And I mean, she's just great. I can't say enough great things about
her. I mean,
Kate
McKinnon. She really kind of has all the things you need to be a good. I mean, in my mind, I think to be a good SNL cast member, you have to be versatile. You have to be able to do a little bit of everything. You have to be able to, like, whatever the situation is, whatever the sketch is, you have to be able to just sell it. You have to just be able to go all in. And, like, Kate McKinnon goes all in all the time.
She is fearless.
She goes ham
as a performer. She is wonderful. I mean, I can't say enough good things about her.
Next,
we have Alex Moffat, who we kind of covered with Mikey Day.
He's all right.
They still kind of blend together. We may occasionally refer to them as Mikey Moffat and Alex Day, because it really doesn't make too much of a difference.
Yeah, it kind you can kind of, you know.
Yeah. Next we have Kyle Mooney. Kyle Mooney. There was a weird moment during the new opening. I don't know if you noticed this.
You saw that too?
They show footage of Kyle Mooney. They flash his name on the screen, and his name is not read.
So you saw that too.
Daryl Hammond skipped his name somehow, some way. And I cannot recall that ever happening on the show.
Does Hammond and Mooney have beef, you think?
I don't. Yes. I wasn't thinking.
Yes, this is how we sell the podcast. Yes, they have beef. We have evidence.
We've That's got right. the inside scoop.
We got photos.
I don't know if it was an intentional slight. I'd like to think that somehow he just missed him. But it's like so. It was so weird. His name's up there on the screen. There's footage of him. He's been on the show for years.
Yeah, and then he just. Radio silence. Has anybody on the online said anything about that? Because that is
I don't
weird.
Know. I haven't looked online today. We should see what the buzz is.
That was bizarre. But yeah, I mean, as far as Kyle Mooney goes, I mean, your thoughts? I don't know. I think he's good in sketches.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I know they do more of those shorts he does.
Yeah.
And those shorts, I don't know, with me, they kind of.
I think Kyle Mooney's there. He's like there to be the quirky guy.
Yeah.
The offbeat kind of guy. And I think he was also hired partly because he was a digital shorts guy, and they needed somebody to fill that void when Andy Samberg left the show.
Yeah, but that's
so
true.
I believe he was partners with Beck Bennett. They'd done a lot of stuff together.
Yeah, they seem to do a lot of stuff together. Like, I don't know. I noticed they always do like a lot of those shorts, like especially like towards the end of the show, just because like a lot of his shorts are pretty weird. And it seems like a lot of people don't kind of get it, so that they always keep it towards the end.
It's 10-to-1 land is what they call it on the AV Club.
Oh, 10, I never...
10-to-1 land. It's the sketch that always airs at 10 minutes before 1 a.m. So, like, at the end of the show.
Ah, I did not know that.
I like that. So that's kind of what I think of that.
The more you know. Area.
You know, that's where you put the quirky,
like
offbeat sketch that's not for everybody.
Yeah, like almost Adult Swim-like, where...
Yes.
Like, I've seen a lot of his sketches, and, like, a lot of them I'm just like, okay...
That's like,
and I don't know. I mean, I do like Kyle Mooney in sketches. I think he's good, but I know he got the gig because he's more like a shorts guy, like you said.
Yeah.
And but like when he those shorts are, I don't know. Like I don't like I watch him and I'm like
he's hit and miss for me.
Yeah, it's kind of odd, and I don't really remember them after I've seen them.
Okay, we have a few more cast members. Cecily Strong.
Cecily.
It's spelled with a C-E, so gotcha. It's Cecily.
Strong performer. I think she's good.
She lives up to her name.
Yes. It's not just a clever title.
Her and Kate McKinnon, I think, are the two strongest people on the show.
I'll give you that.
Again, they're both really versatile.
Yeah.
Most anything they do, they're great. They can be a straight man.
Yeah,
in a sketch, they can be the funny one in a sketch.
They go over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that sketch we'll probably talk about a little bit later, the Delmonico coffee sketch, like where, you know, with the Delmonico coffee and the BK coffee. I thought she was really good, like really good kind of
great
selling the insanity.
Great character work. And I will say many, many complimentary things about Cecily Strong over the course of this podcast.
It'll get borderline creepy. Well...
Hopefully not borderline.
Oh,
I'm not going to go past it. I mean, but yes, I do have a crush on Cecily Strong.
Well, there you go.
I'm just gonna say it.
We're just gonna put it out there.
I mean, I have a crush on Kate McKinnon too, but
yeah.
I'm realistic enough to know that is absolutely impossible.
it's
that's yeah. where you draw the line. That's where realism kicks into you.
That's right. That's right. Interesting. That's right. I mean, you know, the Cecily Strong thing is at least theoretically possible in mm-hmm. some mm-hmm. in some science fiction scenario,
mm-hmm.
but
it is biologically a possibility.
Yes, yes, that's the way to put it. Right. That's the way okay. to put it. So next we have. We have like an SNL MVP. This guy has been on the show, I think, like 16 years, something outrageous like it. Kenan Thompson.
Yes, he is the longest running. Because yes. I thought before him it was like Tim Meadows, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds right.
Or maybe, I would say Daryl
Hammond. Hammond was on for a long, long time.
Yeah, yeah, but I think.
And he's come back as the announcer now after Don right, Pardo right. passed away.
Right, right, RIP. But yeah, yeah, Kenan. Honestly, like, as far as male cast members go, he might be. Yeah, I don't want to say it might be. He is probably the strongest member as far as like male cast members go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like he, you know, like with every cast member, like the best cast member, he like he's able to sell it. He's able to get into the character. He does elevate the sketches he's in. I feel.
I think he can sometimes get a little hammy.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes it becomes about him when it's not really supposed to be about him.
Oh, I see. But I mean, yeah. But that might be emblematic. Oh, big word. Of like the writing, like he's probably just written that way.
Cause, yeah,
because like
yeah.
the writers know. Oh, if you because like they've I think
if a sketch is in trouble, you bring Kenan in,
right? And he'll
and they let him do his thing.
Yeah, and it's like do your thing and bring it up.
And
so maybe that's yeah. why. Like,
and I think Kenan's a talented guy. I feel at this point he's probably been on the show a little longer than he should have been.
Okay,
because my feeling on SNL is. Like, after about 6 years, six seasons, we've probably seen most of everything you can do on the show.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll give you that.
And Kenan's been on for, like, a decade longer than that.
Yeah,
and he's been on for a minute. He's done some great stuff. I still love...
What up with that?
What up with that?
See, that's, like, that's probably his calling card right
that's,
there.
He hasn't done that in years.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Black Jeopardy was a great sketch. He was
that's another strong one.
That's very strong.
We're really making the case for Kenan.
Yeah,
now.
See, there you go. So he is the strongest one, like I said before.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you brought me around.
I win.
and then next we have our last person in the regular cast who just got bumped up to regular cast member, right. Melissa Villaseñor.
Yes.
And she's still rather new on the show. She just came on last year.
Yeah, she did. I wish they'd give her more to do, because like mm-hmm. I've seen her do her impressions. She's really good in impressions. Like,
yeah,
she does an amazing like Gwen Stefani. She does
Wanda
Sykes. She does a great. What was the other one? I think like Shakira or something. She does like really good like mm-hmm. singing, and she can really sing too. She's really a good singer. I don't know. I just wish they'd kind of include that more, like the same way they made. Like Jay Farrow, like they made like sketches around Jay Farrow's impression.
Right.
Like, oh, Jay Farrow can do Denzel Washington. We'll mm-hmm. make a sketch around that. Oh, he can do Jay-Z. Let's do a sketch about that. I don't know why they can't make a sketch around her impression the same way they
do. Well, they did do. They've done this a couple times where she's like the person who's like really bad at pillow talk.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, that's...
and like she did. She broke out the Wanda Sykes impression in that, and sometimes the. With Melissa Villaseñor, I'm still in the sort of getting to know her phase.
Right.
I don't feel I quite know what her persona is yet.
I'll give you that. Yeah. I mean, but again, like, that might be emblematic of the writing, or they don't. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to figure out the best sketch.
They haven't
figured
out the best way to use her yet.
Right.
She hasn't had like a real breakout sketch, but I think she's going to get there.
I think so too.
The other thing is with her, like she's great at impressions, but. There's something kind of an odd timbre about her regular speaking voice.
It is. I mean, I think she's probably talked about it too. But yeah, her voice sounds like her actual voice. Like when I've heard her talk, sounds like kind of
It sounds like she's doing a voice.
You know, it sounds like she's doing a voice. Which,
you know, it sounds. Hey. I don't know, Muppety for lack of a better word. You know, it's like.
Yes,
and it's kind of like that.
Burning bridges,
and I know,
oh,
I know,
boy. Oh boy,
burning bridges. That
it's getting hot in here.
Yeah, but she's a talented performer.
No, she's great,
and she's great. It's just like when I first heard her regular speaking voice, it was like, wait, is she doing another character?
And I thought that too. I was like, oh, is this a thing?
Or yeah.
Like, oh, no. She talks like that. Oh.
Okay. Oh, and now I feel bad.
Well, it's okay. We love you here, Mila Savili, senor.
We're just trying
to... We're saying nice things. We're like, oh, you should
be And you have a wonderful name that's fun to say.
Mila Savili, senor.
Yes. Mila Savili, senor.
Spicy.
It just turns you into Antonio Banderas for a moment.
I know, you're trying to like put some boots there for a minute. I know. The cartoon. I'm like, what?
And then next we have our three featured players. We have Heidi Gardner, who started at the tail end of last season.
Right. I like her. I think she's done some good stuff. She has that... Girlfriend of a boxer thing she did?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I thought that was... that's interesting. Because like, that is like a... kind of a trope in movies you don't even think about until she did it. It's like, oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, again, like I feel like she could do something and she just needs the right thing.
I feel like she's still like one of those people who's waiting for the breakout.
Right.
The breakout character or the breakout sketch.
Right.
But I feel like she's got a lot of potential and I think she's going to go far
on
the show. I mean, I got a good feeling about her.
Darn tootin'.
And then next we have our brand new featured player, who Ego
Nwodum.
Nwodum, thank you.
Yes, I think the
Ego Nwodum. So yes. Between the two of us, I think we pronounced her name correctly.
We did it.
Apologies if we do not.
But she wasn't given that much. She had like a few lines here and there.
Tough to say. I mean, she's in that brand new cast member thing where you're playing the waiter or the waitress in a sketch, or you have a line or two at the beginning,
right.
So it's tough to say.
It's too early to say right now.
It's too early. But I'm happy that the show...
No. You guys are burning bridges here, so it's too early to say, but definitively, what?
I was going to say I'm happy that the show is making an effort to keep a diverse cast.
I don't know. That sounds like performative bull crap to me. Say something more angry. Come on.
I hate what Frank is doing right now. Come on. What are you trying
to get? We're never going to make this podcast.
What are you trying to get me in trouble with the BuzzFeeds?
Haven't we said enough hurtful things already?
Yeah, you did actually. It was about an hour worth of burning bridges. I just wanted that one last one. If it happened to be Ego's agent was like, you know what? Tearing up like a contact form. It was Darren's name on it.
The worst I can say is that it's tough to have an opinion of her because we haven't seen much from her yet.
Yeah.
But it's always fun to see what the new people can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to seeing what she can do.
Is that the entire cast?
There's one more person. Chris Redd.
Oh yeah, he was on there last year.
He was a featured player last year. He's still a featured player. I like Chris Redd a lot.
Too.
He's a stand-up.
Yeah, I think he does stand-up, and I feel like he was did improv or doing some sketch stuff too. But I do like him. He's got personality. I didn't recognize him because he was in that movie Pop Star with
Never Stop Poppin'.
Yeah, yeah. Underrated movie. I saw that movie for the first time. I thought it was really good, and no one else has seen it.
I have not heard of it.
Exactly. See?
Yeah, but that was like a Lonely Island.
Yeah, it was by the Lonely Island. It's kind of like what was I gonna say? It's kind of like Spinal Tap, but with a pop star.
Oh,
like it's like a Justin Bieber, like a modern day Spinal Tap, but with like a Justin Bieber type pop star.
And was it like a mockumentary?
Yes,
that's the word. That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah, but
I hadn't even heard of it.
It came out like 2 years ago, two, three.
We're gonna have to check that out. So that's our homework assignment. We're gonna check out Pop Star, Never Stop Pop.
I highly recommend Pop Star.
Is it on Netflix or anything? Do you know where it's available?
It's definitely on like a DVD.
Okay.
It's definitely out. It's definitely streaming.
I saw it on VHS. Somebody had it outside.
All right. All right. Is it on an 8-track?
Yeah. The soundtrack. Soundtrack is on 8-track.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
I believe the Laserdisc comes out next week.
All right.
I have an AV projector that has it all filmed up.
I have the Viewmaster.
I will
of
be.
Because I want to kick it 1978 style.
Is it on? I believe it's on microfiche.
Uh-huh.
You can see it there.
I've heard it's coming out on Morse code very soon.
Wax tablets. We're done.
Yeah, that's it. We're done. But yeah, I highly recommend Popstar. Watch it. It's hilarious.
Okay.
Hilarious. Thank
you. So that is everyone who's currently in the cast. We're not going to run through that every week, but I felt like since it's our first episode and it's the start of a new season, we should
Right.
You know, let the people know where we stand.
Yeah, absolutely.
And where our opinions lie relative to theirs.
And they're just our opinions. We could be proven wrong at any point in time.
And yeah, and you know, even the people I'm not too inclined to like, I still want to see them kill.
Yeah,
every absolutely. Week. I like, and I hope that when they do, we will note that.
Darn tootin'.
Exactly.
Damn straight.
Darn tootin'.
I think I said that one too many times. But.
Too many darn tootins?
Like yeah. once?
Right.
Yeah, was that too, once, many times?
Too many times? Yeah.
Okay. Our producer, Frank Ablawi, the great Frank Ablawi.
The mighty Frank Ablawi. The mighty
Ablawi. Has pointed out that we have gone really long, and because we love the show so much,
right.
we went way long on just talking about all the various cast members and
this,
all that.
Yeah, this was oof.
But we want to cover what the premiere was, what the show
right.
was.
Let's go, all right, so let's
and let's so we're gonna do a rapid fire. We're gonna bang through these sketches, and right. we'll get more in depth in the future episodes.
Absolutely.
So I'm gonna name the sketches, and then we're gonna just boom.
Boom, hit me.
Okay. Opening sketch after the monologue, the Fortnite sketch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't play Fortnite. I haven't played video games in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was okay. I mean, I got the gist of it, the fact yeah. that, like, oh, you didn't know how to play it. I thought it was cute. I thought it was all right. It's, you know.
That's pretty amazing that they did Fortnite at all. That's really cool. That's, you know.
It's a thing topical. Of the moment. Yeah. You know, my best friend, he's a big video game guy.
Right.
And he's really super into Fortnite. So I hear about Fortnite from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, yeah, the new chapter is starting. I think it's the chapter or the new, whatever the new segment is.
Right.
And you have to complete that and do a level up. And, you know, he's really into it. And I thought it was fine. I didn't think it was really as strong as it should have been to be at the right. top of the show. But it's fine.
It might be one of those things where, like, if you play Fortnite, you get it more. Like, they do that once in a while. Like, they'll mm-hmm. make a sketch where, like, you won't get it unless you live in New York City. They'll make, like, a very New York
True.
Sketch.
True.
So, like, if you're in Ohio or something like that, you're like, I don't understand this.
Yeah, yeah. But. So, it was fine. I thought Adam Driver did some nice work as the clueless
yeah, he was good.
Dad or stepdad, whichever one he was.
Yeah, I think it was stepdad.
Yeah, and he was, like, just playing it to trying to relate mm-hmm. to his son. So let's see. Next, we had a digital short with Kyle Mooney, where he's jealous of all the attention that Pete Davidson has gotten over the summer because Pete Davidson has gotten engaged to
right.
Ariana Grande.
Ariana
that was
Grande.
big news.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all the tabloids and stuff.
Oh, everywhere.
And this was Kyle Mooney's kind of taken Pete's look with the bleached hair,
blonde hair, and he's like, "Yo, that's lit." And
This is
an example of one of those Kyle Mooney sketches where it's just mm-hmm. like, I don't. I mean, I get it. I see what you're doing, but it's like, I don't know. I don't know if it's just
it was all right.
Hitting.
It was, you know, it's
Wendy Williams made a cameo. I was like,
yeah,
all right, that's cute.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the funniest part was when like Adam Driver was like trying to stop him. He's like, hey guys, you sure you should be like, because at the end they have a duel.
Yes.
And at the end, he's like, oh, you guys should be doing this. And then like, I think
he shot with an arrow in the leg.
For some reason, I thought that was funny. It's like,
you
stay out of this, Driver. You don't belong here. And he just limps away with an arrow. In his
I mean, it was one of those SNL sketches that's about SNL and the SNL cast. My main reaction was I was surprised to see it so early in the show because usually, like we were saying, the Kyle Mooney stuff is late in
right.
the show.
They tuck it away.
It's the quirkier stuff.
10-1 as I just learned.
Yes. So I mean, you know, that was fine. I was all right with
it.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Next, we have Domenico's coffee shop.
I like this one. I thought it was fun. I mean, it seemed like a good like a improv sketch type mm-hmm. of sketch.
I thought it was good. You know, it was one of those commercial parody things where they're like, hey, you're trying the new coffee from Domingo's. And it's, oh, wait, it's actually from Burger King. Did you believe that Burger King had such good coffee? And Adam Driver and right. Cecily Strong. Were playing a couple who were just unbelieving.
Yeah, that, just clueless. I mean, I think their performance, they made, like if anybody else had done it or that's one of those sketches where if you put the wrong people in, it could go south. Mm-hmm. Like the people who have to be, you know, the kind of obnoxious kind of, you know, people just saying insane things, they really have to up it and like amp it up.
Yeah.
So if those people, if the people you have playing those people aren't there, then the whole sketch kind of
they
falters.
Elevated it.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, Adam Driver was playing this sort of Guido Italian
right,
type.
Right.
And Cecily was playing, you know, it sort of reminded me a little of her, that British character that she does.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's the awful girlfriend.
That was a great impression. Wow.
Well, thank you. It sounded vaguely like a Muppet.
UCB work right there. Okay, so yeah, what do we got next?
Next was another film segment, which was the homecoming party, Rad Times Frat U, where everyone's like, well, we'll never forget this party, and you're seeing all the heinous, foolhardy actions that they're taking, and then it's flashing on the screen.
Right.
This person lost a 2020 presidential nomination, this person did this, and it's a homecoming party back in the 80s.
Right, and it's a very, you know...
Timely sketch.
Yeah, it's a timely sketch. Of course, they're talking about like Kavanaugh and whatnot.
Yeah, and sort of riffing on that.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I thought it was good. You know, we had some pixelated nudity. That's always fun.
We celebrate pixelated nudity here.
We're all alternative name for the podcast as well.
We actually are all naked right now with our genitals pixelated.
Right.
As we're recording this.
The human body is a beautiful thing, people. We're not ashamed of it.
Well, you know, certain parts are beautiful.
Certain parts
that aren't, we pixelate out.
Yeah, because that's pretty gross.
Yeah, but I thought it was good. I thought it was solid.
Yeah.
I thought it was a cool way to approach the Kavanaugh thing.
Yeah,
they're approaching it. In a different sort of way than just having people literally play those characters. And it's always fun to get the cast in
'80s
wigs and '80s fashion.
Yeah, yeah. New angle.
So next we had Kanye West, the first of his musical segments, which was wow.
I'm not a Kanye guy. I am a Kanye guy, and this was just he
was dressed atrocious. Up as a Perrier bottle, and the other person was dressed up as a Fiji water bottle.
Lil Pump, I believe his
okay.
name. I don't know anything about Lil Pump. He's like a new rapper, and I'm an old man. But I mean, I will admit, I am a fan of Kanye's music. I think his first albums were amazing. I'd say the first three or four albums were great, but ever since that MAGA hat thing, he's taken this weird turn, and I don't know, this is where I get alive. both of his performances I just thought were really kind of uninspired and just lazy. And I mean, the song has a little pump. I don't think it's great. And I mean, I don't know what he's doing. Like, it's just, I want to be one of those people who's like, oh, he's like, I want to get what you're doing, but I don't quite understand where what he's doing or why he's doing this.
Yeah,
it just
he's an odd guy.
He's very odd, and like it might be at that point where he's just so odd. I can't.
Yeah,
I don't know if I can rock with
him. He lost you. He left.
Yeah, I mean,
left you at the station.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, well, I remember seeing on. I think I put it on my Facebook a thing where he like during the listening party for his album, he was wearing like a MAGA hat and a Colin Kaepernick shirt. And I was like,
That's an odd combo.
Yeah, like, What is this?
It's like a performance artist who's like now just trying too hard.
Exactly.
It's tough to get at what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
You know? I don't... It was largely incomprehensible to me. Partly because I'm not a really a rap guy, certainly not a Kanye guy.
Yeah, it's just like one thing, like, are you just doing this to be controversial just for controversy's sake, or do you really have a message that we're not getting, or are you just doing this because you think it'll be something like, oh, if I do this and they don't get it, I can say like I have a message that they don't get. Like, are you like what? And even when he says it and explains it, I don't get it. Like he's exhausting me.
who is the woman that he performed with in his second segment? Do you know?
No, that's a new artist that.
Okay,
I'm an old man.
We've discussed this several times that Darren is very old. He is the oldest.
Yes. But I mean,
the last thing I downloaded was MC Hammer, Too Legit to Quit.
Sure, so okay.
You used the word download.
By download, I meant I got my CD.
Yeah,
and put it on my computer
and burned it onto iTunes.
A-track.
Yeah, download it.
A-track, Clay tablets.
All right. Exactly. Well, that covers Kanye. I mean, it was interesting they gave him a third. segment at
that
the end.
That was weird, yeah. Like, I mean, I saw a little bit of that, but then they cut it off after the big controversial thing where he saw all that pro-Trump stuff. And
apparently, like, Chris Rock posted about that on his Instagram.
Yes,
I saw that just before we came over to the studio to record that.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I saw a little bit of it. Like, he was, you know, I saw he was wearing the MAGA hat. Now, that was like, I don't know if I like this.
Yeah.
And then, like, he was, you know, doing the little rapping thing. And then, but of course, like, they cut it off. Because they had to go to the next show, the 1 o'clock show. But then, like, as you know, he kept going that they didn't record on TV,
right?
And he was saying like this pro Trump stuff, and he was like, "Yo, they bullied me backstage because I was wearing this MAGA hat," and like he was like saying, I guess one of the cast members was like, you know, confronting him. I think they said it might have been Chris Redd, but I don't know. And
I'm gonna have to I didn't watch the Instagram video thing, so. I only read about it, so I still have to check it out.
It's
I don't
pretty,
know what to think.
From what like a lot of people say, he wasn't saying great things. Like apparently, some people in the audience were booing him. The cast members behind him were like looking very awkward, and some people walked off. I think Chris Redd walked off, and Driver walked off.
Okay,
and it was just a weird. I mean, again, I don't know. Maybe he's doing this weird avant-garde thing that's just like, oh, you don't get it, man. I'm over your heads, man. Or maybe he's just being a jerk.
This is when we find out that Trump actually is Andy Kaufman, and then Kanye has been a nun the entire
time.
Wow,
that would be incredible.
It's like, live from incredible. New York. It's 2016 election again. Redo, balloons drop. Hillary's pulled out of her bed. She's like, what's going on? You, the president. Lord Michaels rigged the entire thing. What's happening?
G. Smith on the saxophone.
Wow. I mean, like Kanye, he basically seems to have no impulse control. He just does whatever comes into his head at any given moment.
I know.
And he's so into his own head, he doesn't.
It's troubling, yeah, because like, because at one point, like that mindset will do all that troubling thing he does and like say all these horrible things he says. But at the same time, that same brain makes all this amazing music. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he's untalented. It's just he's just not my personal thing.
Okay.
So, but,
yeah, no, I'm on the record. Like, his first, I'm going to say four albums were incredible. Like, Dark Twisted Fantasy is amazing. Graduation, Late Registration, they're all amazing albums.
If you look at his first four albums, there's a little sticker in the corner of just Darren giving the thumbs up.
Yes.
They're Darren Patterson approved.
Patterson approved. All right, next. We're running long.
Yeah,
my Kanye.
Okay, so we just have a few more things. We got Weekend Update. We talked a lot about our feelings in Weekend Update when we were going through the cast members. I thought it was a little weird. They're using the same beginning for Weekend Update. When they have a new beginning for the show itself.
Yeah.
And but I mean, it still works. It's fine.
I like Weekend Update. I think it's probably the strongest part of the show myself.
Let's see. I wrote down one line I particularly liked in my notes. I think it was a Michael Che line. Mm-hmm. Is it Che or Shay?
Not this
It's definitely not that.
But it was, are Republicans so pro-life you don't even have a plan B for this?
That was a great line.
I love that line. Thought it was an incredible line. The other big thing I really loved was Kate McKinnon as Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
That is pretty, yeah. That's a great impression.
She's done that on Update a few times before, and I think even in some sketches.
Yeah.
And just, she just throws herself into that character so beautifully, and I just love the characterization they have.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, Ruth Bader, she doesn't do that little, that's a Ginsburg, and then do a little dance.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The fact that they do that, it's like,
it
works.
It's such an exaggerated character. It's just inherently funny.
It's a hoot.
And let's see, we also had, Leslie Jones come on as Serena Williams.
Yeah, that was
that was a good use for Leslie Jones.
Timely.
I thought. You know, because that was in the news a few weeks ago. Serena Williams getting into
it with the guy, with
the ref's face.
The ref, yeah,
that was a good use for Leslie Jones. I thought
used her
what she does well.
Absolutely. So what's the next?
Then we have Pete Davidson talking about him becoming tabloid fodder because of his engagement to Ariana Grande.
I mean, I kind of like that because like, he's aware, like he's in on it. He's like, I know what this is.
And that
probably comes from being a stand-up comedian where you're just aware.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good thought. I liked he compared himself to the Batman kid at one point where like the whole town decided to pretend he was Batman and he was basically like, I know I'm not supposed to be with Ariana Grande. It's weird.
Right.
and yeah, he was owning it.
Yeah, I'll give that from he's aware. He knows this is all. He knows what we're all saying, and he knows what this is.
Yeah.
And like all right, good. Kudos.
So next, we got two more sketches. There was the high school career day.
I thought that was a pretty strong sketch.
You talked about this.
I might say that might be the sketch of the night.
Sketch of the night?
I think so. It's one of those sketches where the person who's, you know, delivering the joke has to, you know, bring it, or mm-hmm. else the whole sketch falls flat. I think Adam Driver really brought it. Like, I'm just a fan of old-timey talk.
Yeah.
That might have been it, too.
You're darn tootin'.
Exactly. I've said that way too many times on this podcast.
That's your catchphrase now.
You're darn tootin'.
You're darn tootin'. But yeah, I thought Adam Driver did some great character work, and he elevated that sketch because he's like this old prospector. Well, not quite. He was an old oil man.
Yeah,
he
reminded me. Yeah, he kind of reminded me of like There Will Be Blood, mm-hmm. Montgomery Burns type of vibe. Montgomery Burns.
And they've done this high school career day thing before, where like one parent comes in and he's very mortifying for his kid, and Melissa Villaseñor plays a student who's like, oh yeah, this guy is awesome.
And they have done that before.
I can't remember who they did that with or what it was, but yes, that was a good Melissa Villaseñor.
Right? Nice.
But that was a good sketch. I think that could have been a little earlier in the show.
That should have been where the Kyle Mooney short was.
Switch those places around.
SNL, hire us if you want to.
Yeah.
Someone that's, brilliant insight.
You know, Lauren, yeah, you've been doing it for 44 years now, but, you know, we're two guys.
Yes.
We have an idea about this, mm-hmm. these two sketches. So.
We'll show you how it's done, Lauren. Well, just, you know, tweet us.
And, you know, lastly we had, I think this was probably my favorite sketch of the night, was the League of the South, these white supremacists meeting in their community rec center, and they're talking about their ideal society where it's only white people and only white people do everything. And Adam Driver just goes, yeah, you're describing Vermont. And I just love the concept that Vermont is inadvertently a white supremacist paradise.
I mean, I don't know how the people living in Vermont feel about that. But
not great.
But
they get television in Vermont?
I don't think so.
They only get Newhart. That's the only television show that plays in Vermont. Tracks.
Don't they like churn butter for entertainment up there? I don't know.
I have never been to Vermont.
Drink maple syrup. Fight moose.
Cheese.
Right.
Cheese there. And,
I don't think that's how you pronounce it.
Cheese?
Yeah, Michael Cheese.
Michael Cheese. Oh, you beat me to it.
We did it.
We
made it.
Wow.
We made a podcast.
But, I mean, I like that sketch because it was just a nice, simple idea. They got in, they got out really quickly.
Right.
It worked well. And that was probably my favorite of the night because I didn't see the turn coming. And it really made me laugh because of that.
That's true. I always like a sketch where you think you know where it's going, but then they twist it and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and it goes off in a new, unexpected direction. And yeah, I thought it was really good.
That's all right.
They showed those white supremacists what for.
Yeah,
I tell you, darn tootin'.
Darn tootin'.
So
is that my new catchphrase now? Darn tootin'.
That's your catchphrase. You have to use that in every episode from here on out.
Oh boy.
And that was it. That was the season premiere. I thought it was a pretty good season premiere.
Not
overall.
Bad. Yeah, not bad so far. I mean, well, you know, nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, it's always exciting to see, you know, when the show starts up again.
Yeah, it definitely gets your juices. You know.
They're going to tickle my funny bone for the next however many months it is, the next 9 months or whatever.
Yeah, you guys both went into old-timey talk hard.
We love our old-timey.
Tickle my juices. Tweak my funny bones.
It's probably because I watch too much Conan O'Brien, honestly.
That's probably. So let's blame Conan for this.
It's Conan's fault. Former SNL writer, Conan O'Brien.
He was on the Phil Hartman years, right? Am I not mistaken?
He was a writer. He was a writer at the same time like Bob Odenkirk was on. And Robert Smigel,
Bobby O. And Robbie Smy.
But we're getting off on another track, and we need to wrap it up.
That's for another episode.
We've gone on so long.
What day is it?
I don't know. I think the next show is airing already, so we're gonna have to wrap it up.
The sun's about to rise.
So it's
So Johnny, you got plugged there?
Let's see. I got a couple of plugs. I got in a couple of weeks. I'm performing at Tierney's in Montclair, ooh, New Jersey. Tierney's is. That's my home.
Well,
you know, that's where I first was doing stand-up on a regular serious basis. And that's a benefit show for Alzheimer's New Jersey. And that's a cause that's near and dear to my heart. I actually went on a walk, a fundraising walk for them this morning.
And if Trumbull's willing to walk for it, it's probably important.
Yes. If I'm doing any sort of physical exertion, it's important. Right. And Darren, what about you? What plugs do you have?
I got a few. I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to be in the D.C. area, but I'll be in D.C. doing a couple shows next week. And then
look at that.
I got a show in Queens at QED later this month. Like, all my info you can find on my website, darrincredible.com, D-A-R-I-N-credible. And follow me on the Twitter and the Instagrams at darrincredible.
And I'm on the Twitter and the Instagrams at Trumbull Comic. And I actually had a tweet go viral the other day.
Dude, yeah. You're like famous now.
I was like famous for a day. I did a tweet about the Kavanaugh hearings, and it's last time I looked, it's gotten like over 1,000 likes, which I'm just like, how the hell does that happen?
Wow. How do you feel, man? Has power changed you?
I'm drunk with power. I'm drunk with power. I'm like, I'm starting a podcast. Because
that's in the internet age how drunk with power works.
Right. Yes. I am starting a podcast, god damn it. My voice needs to be heard more.
is that your Melissa Villaseñor?
It was like half Melissa Villaseñor, half Kermit the Frog. Yeah. But so.
Yeah, you nailed it.
So
yeah.
Three quarters Kermit the Frog.
Oh, Melissa is never going to come on this podcast now.
She's right. We love you, Melissa.
Melissa, we say this out of love.
We do.
We care.
Next week on SNL, we've got Awkwafina as the host and Travis Scott as the musical guest.
Yeah.
And I have no idea who either of those people are.
Awkwafina is a rapper who was in Ocean's 8 and Crazy Rich Asians. Travis Scott is a rapper.
And okay.
Again, we are old, so that's all I really know about him. I'll have to ask my little cousin about more.
That's about three things more than I knew about him. So,
yeah, well, there you go.
Tune in next week as we learn who these people are.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.